All right. Well, good morning, Harris Chapel.
Good morning.
I'm so thankful for the opportunity to share something with you guys. It's been on my heart and mind the last couple weeks, and I've talked with Pastor Jim about it a little bit, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. And I'm thankful for all the prayers for the back injury. I'm definitely healing, so thank you guys for the prayers and the thoughts and support during that time. Every day I'm getting a little stronger. But before we hop into this, if it's okay, I'd like to pray. Dear Jesus, we just come to you this morning and we thank you for who you are and we thank you for what you've done. Lord, I'm asking right now that you open our ears and our minds and our hearts to what we're going to share and talk about this morning. God, I'm asking that your Holy Spirit goes and it moves through these pews and it touches the lives of those here. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in their life, I hope that changes this morning. That's our prayer. And Lord, if there's someone that needs to recommit their lives this morning, that's our prayer also. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to be hopping around a little bit in Scripture this morning. We're going to be Old Testament, New Testament. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, Mark, Philippians, and Psalms. So bear with me as we hop back and forth a little bit. But before we get started, I want to set the scene just a tad. So if you can, imagine with me, the year is 1835, and it's the month of December, and you're outside of what is now known as San Antonio. And so has anybody been to San Antonio in the winter, kind of? It's actually beautiful down there. It's not too hot, not cold. It's pretty nice. But in 1835, you're not going to have any AC. You're not going to have any heat, any heating element to keep you warm if it does get cold. So it's going to be a little strenuous. But at this time in 1835, there's 200 Texans that come together, and they volunteer to be a part of the Texan Army. And these 200 soldiers, if you will, are led by James Bowie and Davy Crockett. And if you know me, I'm a big outdoorsman, so I really enjoy reading about these two, you know, manly men and everything they do. In fact, as I'm going along at Tribeca for my biblical and theological studies, we talk about different preaching techniques and, you know, talking with your hands, as you notice I do a lot. But we talk about different things, and they say, well, you should always have a prop. And so as I was preparing for this, I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about James Bowie. That's my excuse to buy a new Bowie knife, right? And so I'm thinking, but I couldn't justify it. I started feeling a little guilty, like, oh, I really just want the knife for me, not to use as a prop. So no Bowie knife this morning, but just imagine, well, maybe don't imagine that I'm preaching with one. But so we're going to talk a little bit about James Bowie and Davy Crockett. And as these 200 soldiers start to pile in and volunteer for their service, they hold up in a forward operating base that's actually a mission called the Alamo. And the purpose of them being at the Alamo is to keep the Mexican forces from moving forward into Texas and reclaiming that territory. And so they're set. They know their mission. They know what they're doing. Well, fast forward a year. And if anyone's ever done a military deployment or any kind of deployment, they know that if you spend a year with a lot of people, you get to know them. You know, the first couple months, it's pretty great. Everything's all hoorah, yeah, we're all together in this. But by month 9 or 10, you start to learn a lot about people, all their little quirks, all of, you know, their smells, everything, you know. And so you got 200 people in the Texas heat together and for a year. But they stay true to their mission, and they keep their mission at the center of what they're doing, and they're guarding the Alamo. So we fast forward to 1836, February 23rd. General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna starts to move forward with several thousand Mexican forces. And as they move forward, a battle ensues for 13 days. And this battle was pretty intense. And eventually, unfortunately, the Texans at the Alamo were defeated. But because of the courage and the inspiration they had to guard the Alamo, the Texans were ultimately able to win the war and fight off the Mexican forces and regain Texas, what we know today as Texas. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, is guarding something. Has there ever been anything in your life that you felt that you have to guard at all costs, that you have to protect at any measure? Well, Scripture tells us about something we have to guard at all costs. So if you can, I'll give you a second to turn there. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, and this is going to be the start of this morning, chapter 4, verse 20 through 27, and I'll give you a second to turn there. Says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. And this is our bread and butter for this morning, the start of our bread and butter. Verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you and make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. So we are called to guard our hearts. We are told to guard our hearts. And when you think about the things you guard, you know, I like to think that I guard my family, I protect my family, I protect our home. And that may look different for all of us, whether it's security cameras, Smith & Wesson, could be a little bit of anything. And as we guard ourselves and we guard our homes, we're called to guard our hearts. And we're gonna talk about this a little bit and break this down, but I'm not talking about necessarily, in the passage isn't talking about necessarily guarding your heart from a relationship, you know, a dating aspect. Oftentimes I hear this verse used in a dating aspect. In a way it could be used at that, but we're talking about the heart in such a deeper sense. We're talking about the heart as the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, as the place that we store the truth that Jesus has given us. But I did bring a prop for you. And so I'm going to go back a little further in my history, but a little more recent than 1836. So as we're not talking about our hearts as in relationships, have you ever told somebody you've given them your heart? You know, maybe it's your spouse or your significant other. Well, I told somebody that I gave them my heart one time. I was 17 and was a junior in high school. No, I was a senior in high school at this point. And I was in Mrs. Jones' art class at Wapahani High School, if you guys are familiar with her. And I was doing it was a clay class, which I have no artistic ability whatsoever. But it was around Valentine's Day, so around still February time, and we had to make something related to a heart. And I was seeing a very special girl at that time, and so I was like, you know what? We'll make me a Valentine's Day gift for her. So sure enough, 17-year-old Daniel makes a clay heart. And it was for this special lady over here, right? And if you look closely, this is how cheesy I was. There is a picture of us at homecoming our senior year on the front of it. And then on the inside, it had a note that said, I give you my heart and I love you. So that was the prop that I had for this morning. But still love you, babe. And
bar pretty high there.
I know, right? But what I'm talking about this morning is even deeper than that. As much love as I have for Erica and how I truly did give her my heart and how special she is to me day in and day out, I'm talking about something even deeper. I'm talking about the place where the Holy Spirit dwells within our lives. And when He takes hold of our hearts, our identity can be found in Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to guard your heart? What does it mean to protect something? You know, when I think about guarding something or protecting something, I break it down into three different things. You have to have three things to adequately guard something. The first one's protection. You can't really guard something if it's not protected. You know, as you look back at the Texans at the Alamo, I'm sure they weren't just hiding behind a rock with their muskets and waiting, right? They probably had patrols going around. They probably had lookouts strategically placed, and they were prepared. They understood their mission. And so they were ready to protect the Alamo and protect that line. Scripture gives us a little bit of that as well. If you can now, I'm going to be in Philippians chapter 4. I told you guys I'm going to do some hopping. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And I'll give you guys a second to get there as well. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
Amen.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God.
Amen.
And this is it right here. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'll read that one again. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Scripture tells us that if we're seeking the Lord, Jesus will help guard our hearts.
Amen.
So how are you seeking the Lord? If you follow the Young Adults Facebook page earlier this week, I I think it was earlier this week, might have been last week, but I shared something that I was thinking about when I really started praying and thinking about this message. And as I was preparing my lunch for that day, usually I don't eat this healthy, so don't think I eat healthy, because that's not necessarily the case. But that day I had a super healthy lunch. It was, you know, boiled eggs, some tomatoes, a cheese stick, and yeah, a cucumber or something like that. And I was like, wow, I'm really feeding myself good today. I'm treating my body right with some good nutrition and everything. And then I started thinking about, as I'm physically taking care of myself, what am I spiritually doing? What is my heart chewing on this week? And what measures am I taking to protect my heart this week? And we'll get back to what we're feeding our heart here in a little bit. But the second thing you need to do if you're going to adequately guard something is have a willingness, right? I don't think the soldiers at the Alamo just were there because they had nothing better to do. They're there for, December to February, 14 months roughly, away from their families, away from their farms, away from everything that they know to guard something. So they had the willingness and they believed in that mission, right? So if Scripture's telling us that we are to guard our hearts, do we have the willingness to guard our hearts? You know, at the Alamo, they were there. It's unfortunate, but I believe that they knew the chances of them surviving were pretty slim. They probably knew that. But they still had that willingness to guard it at all costs. Are we willing to guard that truth and that Holy Spirit dwelling place within our lives at all cost? You know, the mission goes, and I should have led with this, but the mission goes so much further than that, because before we can guard our hearts, the Holy Spirit has to be in our hearts.
Amen.
That's the first part of the mission. If he's not there, then there's really nothing worth guarding. And we're going to get into, if he's not there, what could be there. And bottom line is, he needs to be there, right? The third thing you have to have to adequately guard something is an understanding, right? You have to have the understanding of why you are guarding what you are guarding. You know, at the Alamo, they understood that if the Mexican forces got past this line, Texas may fall. If Texas may fall, who knows what the rest of the country is going to be faced with, right? So they had an understanding of their mission. Scripture kind of gives us a little bit a better idea of our mission as well. Now I'm going to hop over to Psalms chapter 119. And the first one I'm going to read is 10 through 13, and then I'm going to go to 112. Psalms 119, verses 10 through 13. That's the first one. Psalms 119, verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands, for I have hidden your word in my heart. There's that truth right there. That I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. So we're storing that truth in our hearts. And you know, depending on which translation you have, it may say minds in there. Heart and mind, we're talking, you know, together at this point. But what does it say at the end of there? Those laws will come out of our mouth. Whatever we have stored in our heart is going to exude out of us. So if the Holy Spirit is dwelling within our lives, that is what's going to exude out of us, right? So we have to protect our heart to make sure we're honoring the Holy Spirit so that He stays within our heart and moves through our lives. We'll hop over to verse 112, still Psalms 119. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. We have to know, have to have that willingness, that understanding that this isn't just a one-day kind of deal. This is until the very end. The soldiers at the Alamo were prepared to fight until the very end. They did fight until the very end. So as we have the understanding of what's in our lives and we have the understanding of why we need to protect it, we're made more aware of our mission. You know, Scripture gives us a little even more breakdown of why this is important, and we're going to hop into Mark now, chapter 7, verse 14, 23. This is the last time I'm hopping around, I promise. Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. After he has left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. And Jesus replied, 'Are you so dull?'" Oh, what a shot. He asked, "Don't you see that nothing enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. I love bacon. Thank you, Jesus. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Amen. If we're not protecting our hearts, it's easy for Satan to get in there and grab a hold. It's easy for Satan to start penetrating into our lives and saying, "I'm going to control this aspect. I'm going to control this aspect." We have to protect our hearts. You know, you start to look at some of those things, and some of those things are pretty easy. Slander, arrogance, those slip in pretty easy into our lives, sometimes even unnoticed before we even notice it. But if the Holy Spirit is dwelling within our hearts and we're protecting our hearts to honor Him in our actions, that's our shield. You know, we just read in Philippians that Jesus will help guard our hearts. If we're seeking Him daily, that's a force that even the Mexican forces of 2,000, 3,000 soldiers isn't going to be able to take over. That's a truth. That's the foundation that we need to build our lives upon. You know, and we don't have to turn here, but you know, at the beginning when we read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 21, it starts with putting that truth in our heart. So that's the first part of our mission. We are to find the Holy Spirit. You know, Brenda shared something in Missions Night several months ago, and I think I mentioned it last time I spoke with you guys, but that's our first call in our life, is to come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our first mission. That's our first mission, to accept the Holy Spirit and have Him work in our lives.
That's right.
If you haven't accepted Him, this morning's the time.
Amen.
It truly is. So once the Holy Spirit is within our lives and He's within our heart and He's guiding our directions, then our identity can be found in Jesus Christ. Because if our identity isn't found in Jesus Christ, what's our identity found in?
Satan.
That's exactly what it is. It says right there, all of those evil things. How do we guard our hearts? What is your heart chewing on this week? Scripture tells us the steps to take. We pray. We seek. We talk. We listen. You know, when I was on the aircraft carrier, I was super fortunate to work with an amazing crew. And we were really blessed. Nothing too dangerous ever happened, but we still had protective measures. We went through the Strait of Hormuz over in the Arabian Gulf. There's a thing called a Snoopy team. And I think it stands for Ships, Nautical, or Otherwise Photographic Intelligence Exploitation or something, right? And so what it is it's guys go up and they take pictures of all these other ships that are coming by us. And just so that way we can study them and see if there's any threats and analyze that sort of thing. And as you go through this Strait of Hormuz, and if anybody's been there, you know that it's incredibly narrow, and especially for an aircraft carrier to fit through. And so there's protective measures that have to be put in place. Rules of engagement, and what to call out when you see it. And even though we were pretty fortunate, we weren't in really any danger right away, we still knew that any time something bad could happen. That something at any time somebody could want to hurt us and get a hold of our ship or hurt sailors out there. So we had protective measures in place. So as important as that is, imagine how much more important it is to guard our hearts.
Amen.
Verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That means what's in our heart is going to come out of us.
That's right.
Who we encounter today is going to see our heart.
That's right.
Is the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart this morning? You know, Pastor Jim's been doing this series on the Holy Spirit, and I felt like this just felt perfect. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, so we better talk about where He lives.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit lives within our heart. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that's when He comes in and that's when He dwells within us. You know, I share this often too, and it's still my favorite illustration, and I know you guys have probably heard it, but I love donuts. Man, I love a good donut. And I'd like to, yes, praise God, that's right. Every time I take the boys to Walmart, I have to take them to get a chocolate donut. They love chocolate donuts with Dad, and so we go get a chocolate donut. But it isn't any donut. It's a Bavarian Bismarck. And if you know what a Bavarian Bismarck is, you know that when you bite into it, it's filled with that delicious pudding. Oh, my word, that delicious pudding. We got an intermission coming up, and then you can get a donut. But it's filled with that delicious pudding. And when you bite out, it just oozes out, right? That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. When you go to lunch today, when you go to work tomorrow, the Holy Spirit wants to ooze out of you. Is He oozing out of you? You know, I asked a little bit ago, what are you feeding your heart? Hopefully it's not a Bavarian Bismarck, but now and then it's okay. But what are you feeding your heart spiritually? Are you in the Word daily? Are you seeking God daily? You know, Pastor Jim shared a couple weeks ago about his daily affirmations as well, and I really enjoy that. I created a list right after he did also. And the first thing of my daily affirmations and what I start my day with is to seek God with everything I have. And it's so simple what I do. I'll share this with you. I think I shared it at prayer meeting. But what I do is literally the first time my alarm goes off, after Erica's goes off because she gets way earlier than I do, the first thing I do before I open my Bible, before I pray, before I do anything, is I take a couple deep, intentional breaths and I seek God's presence. I just make myself aware of the Holy Spirit's presence within my life. The power that has had in my personal spiritual life, I can't measure. It starts out the day. It starts out the week. That's what I'm feeding my heart with, is making myself aware of the Holy Spirit's presence within my life and the fact that He doesn't want to just stay in my heart. He wants to exude out to everybody that I encounter, day in and day out. I'm called to guard that relationship with Christ. If I don't guard that relationship, Satan's sitting right there at the front gate. He's sitting there with all his forces and all his equipment to get into my life. You know, I shared the first time preaching since I had been back about being on the team that we're heaven bound. If you don't have an accountability partner, this is another call to get an accountability partner. I lean on so many men in my life to hold me accountable, to help me guard my heart, because I know the costs. I have an understanding and a willingness because I know what Jesus wants to do.
Yes.
Do you guys know that this morning? Is the Holy Spirit dwelling within your heart this morning? What are you going to feed your heart this week? You know, I talked about a healthy lunch. Are we feeding ourselves apples or are we feeding ourselves donuts? Donuts are okay every once in a while. Don't take that. But what are we feeding ourselves spiritually to prepare ourselves for the week? What are you doing to make sure that you're in that communion with the Holy Spirit? Because that's what He wants.
Amen.
As we seek Him, He'll draw closer to us. And as He draws closer to us, He wants to guard that relationship because He cares deeply about it. Scripture tells us, we just read about it in Philippians 4, He's not going to guard something He doesn't care about.
That's true.
He's not going to do that if He doesn't care about it. You know, I had the privilege of sharing a prayer and a sermon, well, not a sermon, but a prayer and the parable with somebody earlier this week, actually it was last week, about where Jesus talks about the seven demons after they had prayed over the demons leaving the house and the demons returned. I think it's Matthew 24. And there's truth in that. There's truth in that. Because if we are not praying to keep the Holy Spirit where the Holy Spirit wants to be, demons are going to flood our lives in every way, in the least suspicious way possible. That's the tricky part. That's the tricky part. It's not necessarily going to be this, you know, there's a fire erupting right there kind of deal. It's going to be through that arrogance. It's going to be through that envy. It's going to be through that lust. It's going to be through all those things we just read about. He's going to sneak in there. But let's put the protective measures in place so he can't. Let's have the accountability of, you know, as they roved around the Alamo to watch out for the forces, let's have accountability partners checking up on us. Let's be accountability partners for others, calling, texting, emailing, saying, brother, sister, how are you doing? And not just physically, but how's your heart? What are you feeding your heart this morning? What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? What can I pray for you about? As you start your day, when that alarm goes off and you are up too late and it's going off way too early and you're like, man, I could go for a donut, but you don't have a donut. What are you starting your day with? Start your day with the Holy Spirit. Make yourself aware of His presence. Roll into your devotion time in prayer and thanksgiving. Roll into your scripture time with thanksgiving for His word and what He wants to do in your life. We have to honor the Holy Spirit. Our heart is a dwelling place for Him. As much as I love Erica, and you can see it from 17, 12 years later, my heart is a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. I can't love Erica, I can't love others unless the Holy Spirit's at work in my life. What are you feeding your hearts this morning? We'll start to wrap it up, and I'll do a quick summary. If you have your outline, it's on the back of the bulletin. So we're called to guard our hearts above all else. Above all else, guard your hearts, for everything you do flows through it. Above all else, that's the first thing we have to do. To guard something, there are three things we have to do or have to have an understanding of. The first one's protection. So what are you doing to protect your heart? What are you doing? Are you seeking the Lord with everything you have? Are you reading your Bibles? Are you praying? Are you making yourself aware of His Spirit? Number two, you have to have that willingness. You have to be willing because, you know, as Jeremy shared earlier, it's not going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be hard. Satan's going to try. That, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within your heart, that's real estate He doesn't own. That's prime real estate. There is a spiritual battle going on. There is, and your heart is prime real estate. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to move into your heart. Third thing, understanding. You have to have the understanding to know that you need the Holy Spirit to live in your life.
That's right.
It's not a life without the Holy Spirit. It's just happening. The Holy Spirit wants to be at work in you. He wants to dwell within you. So what is our mission? If you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within your life this morning, today's the day.
Amen.
And if you do, maybe you need to touch up and say, you know what? I need to honor that relationship. I want to keep you at work in my life, Holy Spirit. Stay, exude through me. Shine through me, speak through me, use through me. I want to honor you.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me this morning. And we're going to pray. And I want you guys to think about, where's your heart at this morning? What are you feeding your heart spiritually? What are you doing to protect that relationship? Jesus, we just come to you now. Lord, and I thank you for who you are and what you've done. Before all else, Lord, we just thank you for who you are. God, I ask that if there's anyone here, that you grab a hold of their hearts now. The altars are open, folks. Holy Spirit, if you are not dwelling within every heart here, help us penetrate into the lives of those here. So that we can reach others, so that there can be a multiplication factor for the kingdom, God. For it's all about you. As we talked about our hearts, Lord, this is so much deeper than just our relationships with others here. Lord, our hearts are the dwelling space for the Spirit. Prime real estate. God, help us sell that real estate to you. Help us give it all to you. That we understand what you want to do in our lives, that we understand the need for you in our lives. Lord, as we read about, if you're not at work in our lives, it's easy for some bad stuff to get in our lives. Lord, help us put the protective measures in place to honor your Spirit, to protect that relationship, God. Because we know if you're not working in us and moving through us, it's something other than the Holy Spirit, and we only want the Holy Spirit to work through us. God, I ask that you move through these pews right now. If there's anyone that doesn't know you, that they realize the importance of knowing you this morning, that they realize that life can only be fulfilled to the fullest through you, that to have other relationships and to love others and honor others, Jesus, we need your example, and we need you to work through our lives. Holy Spirit, come, move. Lord, I just ask that you be with all the other needs in the church, Father. And if there's anybody that wants to come pray for any of the physical needs within the church, the altars are open. God, we know that there are some people that have some upcoming surgery, some upcoming procedures. And we know there's a lot of physical hurt, Lord. And we know that you're the ultimate healer. And we're trusting in you. And Father, as we're trusting in you to physically heal, Lord, we're asking you to heal those that struggle with mental illness, Lord. And emotional healing. God, we know that's real. And we know that Satan uses those emotional attacks, those mental attacks to grab a hold of people. Holy Spirit, we know that that this is a spiritual battle. We know that it is. We're giving our hearts to you. We're asking you to come in and to dwell within our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus, please be with those needs that we've mentioned, the physical and the mental and the emotional, but most importantly, the spiritual needs, Lord, because we understand the importance of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, strengthen everyone today that as they go from here, that they're a light for you. That multiplication towards kingdom impact happens through your Spirit at work in our lives and in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen.